Welcome to Lighto Podcast, the second one of the third season.
Welcome back for another chapter of Lighto Podcast. And today we're going to do a kind of small intro of what happened to us in the week.
Yeah, by the way, Matteo Randulfe here with me, yeah. The co-host of Lighto, of course, famous.
A great applause to Victor Aguilar.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for introducing. Yeah, now we're just going to talk about how was the week. Really casual.
Yeah.
It was a really busy week, especially.
Yeah, extremely busy.
Yeah, especially because we are in the transition of moving. Well, you have already moved, but yeah, basically, between all the moving with the new contract and all the things. Yeah.
Operations, a lot of operations.
A lot of operation, a lot basically. Of boxes, a lot of packing, yeah. And that really
Esoteric experience with. Looking for a dry cleaner in Leeds because apparently there is none working. I went to 5 of them, all of them closed. So if you know one that is open and that works kind of well, please let me know in the comments.
It's like a social request, no, please, exactly. Asking for help.
I did 2 hours walking for finding one and nothing appeared.
Yeah, just one, and you said to me, no, I'm going to go 1 second, really quick to the center. And then you appear after like 1 hour or something like that with the same things. And
I took Ubers, I walked, I went one after another one, and Google Maps kept showing me ones that I were closing.
The fault is always of Google.
Google Maps. Change this, please, now.
No, of course not. But yeah, it was pretty interesting week apart from, you know, all the things. We just been like working, like preparing. Few meetings that we have. Actually, we have tomorrow as well. So we've been focusing on improving our presentations, and we're designing a kind of a visual prototype or just a visual representation of our business model, what we do. Because, to be honest, our business is a bit complex for a lot of people. No,
so has many corners, many sections.
Yeah, the other day I went to an event and everybody say pitch elevator. Yeah, you have 1 minute. What do you have to meet someone? But the other day they give an advice, like obviously not all the businesses that you can describe it in 1 minute.
Are ready for a pitch elevator. Some of them you need more time and it's worth it to take more time.
Exactly. Imagine Facebook. Everybody know what is Facebook now, but at the beginning it was a way more complex idea. That it was hard to explain,
Yeah, and so Facebook has like many corners, many other side businesses, and many. Exactly. But you explain that he also owns Instagram, you also like in 1 minute. It's impossible.
It's impossible. So that's why we're working in improving, using that visual representation will really help to kind of create that visual image into the mind of like investor.
And also improving our way of transmitting to people what we do in the community in a visual way. In a nice design and easy to read and to follow.
Yeah, I have to say, like, to be honest, we're really well organized in general. We love to create like graphics and have everything like really tied up. So like, if you are a talent and we arrive to our community,
everything ready.
You can see the schedule of what we have every week, and you can see how our launching projects, launchpad system work, like where is the step, everything is really.
By the way, the link of the community in the description, if you're interested in tech, feel free to join,
For the rest, anything else that happened today, pretty much
working 24/7.
We see. Well, today is a really nice weather, so hopefully.
Surprisingly, England.
Surprisingly, it haven't been feeling like summer, so hopefully it can improve. But let's get right away into the topic for today. We have, as always, if you're a new listener, we have two sections that are going to introduce mine right now, and Matteo will introduce.
I'll talk about technology.
Yeah, and then we have a small piece at the end. I like how we how we discuss the meta, of the inside of how we structure our podcast.
Exactly.
Metadata. Yeah. So let's start with my topic, if you like, Matteo.
Let's go for it.
So today, I thought about speaking about a little bit about marketing, which is one of the things that I'm more passionate about. And the other day, last Friday, when we went to an event, it was an event for young entrepreneurs like us. They were looking for funding on just some help and everything. And one of the guys he was doing something really interesting actually, and I think he was an engineer or something like that. No,
he's software engineer. Yeah,
software engineer. But then his passion is breakdance, and he wanted to, he have created a software to this kind of breakdance events and everything. So, and he was just asking what happened with marketing. No, obviously there is a lot of entrepreneurs with passion. That have really good ideas, but obviously a software engineer might not have all the knowledge in all the managerial kind of function that are more deep and
especially for these people that doesn't have that much contact with social media, doesn't use that much Facebook or Instagram, because maybe for a daily user it kind of starts seeming like easy to understand too, or if you consume a lot of YouTube, you know how to make videos, you know, these kind of things.
Yeah.
But for someone that doesn't have that contact, it might be very difficult.
Exactly, but I wanted to start from right away from the beginning and just explain like a really quick and easy kind of guideline for someone that have zero knowledge of marketing, and really basic explain how you have your project and have the entrepreneurial aspiration, what can you do to actually launch your projects. And so it's going to be really focusing new ventures, mm-hmm. and startup, or just, you know, sole traders, people that start, that they don't have the huge budget of like large tech organizations,
corporations
and everything. But so I want to quickly introduce few important topics. Okay, so the first thing is to know who are you targeting. I don't know if you remember, but this person that we met in the event, he was just asking in general, but actually each marketing strategy will depend on who are you targeting to.
Even though he was very niche, like in breakdance, there might be like difference between like competitions, organizations, or personal individuals. Or
the more niche or the most close and narrow target, the easiest is to actually find the right distribution, the right message. But first you need to know really clear in your mind who is the public you're out in that you have to spread your message. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So there is a big important work before getting any promotion that is about analyzing the market, which is a really big misconception that I have already mentioned before in our videos, that people think the marketing is only just promotion, only like the inside promotion,
throwing
have
things
advertisement.
Out.
Exactly. But to be honest, marketing is analyzed. Is basically to analyze the market and bring value through the offers that we provide. So there is a huge first step of analyzing who are you targeting, create a strategy, and then when you have that targeting, then you move on to positioning and to position your offer, and that's where you communicate and that's where you do all the advertisement and all that stuff. No?
Positioning is basically like distributing other social media or any other mean, no?
Well, what I mean with positioning is like positioning your offer. So we're talking about not only the promotion, but we're talking about product, we're talking about price, and we're talking about place, which is distribution.
Oh,
so
right.
The four P's are inside positioning, you know.
So it's not only marketing itself, but it's also about the product, the price, and
Obviously, marketing is exactly, so as you said, what you do with the product is you're basically analyzing what the consumer wants, and then you create a product from that.
Yeah.
That's why then the product development is outside of the marketing function.
All right,
no?
That's
but
cool.
that part of like what do they want is inside marketing. You analyze and then you decide what to do. And the same with the price, same with the distribution, which is really
this
important.
Misconception you were saying before that people say think that it's only promotions. And
exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly
makes
what
sense.
I mean. Yeah, but today we're not going to get into the rest of the analysis and marketing analysis and market analysis, because it's huge, no? So, I want you to know that first you need to know who is your target audience, all right? Then you can move on to the promotion part. And here's when I'm gonna give like the more simple, so what you can do if you don't have a huge budget and you want to launch your project, you know, as an entrepreneur, sole trader, whatever, no? So as I said, the context of who you're targeting is really important, because it's going to define which is the message, and then it's going to define which is the best communication channel to transmit that message. All right, that's really important. So in the case, to make it more easy to understand, in the case of this person, which sorry that I don't remember his name because it was a really quick interaction and we just there, you know. But basically what I said to him is like, okay, so you are trying to sell this software, which is a kind of valuing software for punctuation for breakdance competition, something like that, no? So you want to sell this to the people that organize the events. So that's a B2B business. So what I said to him is, if you want to sell to businesses, the way to go is LinkedIn.
Definitely.
So what I was saying is basically your channel, your predict, like preference channel to communicate your message should be LinkedIn, you know? And I forgot to mention, we're going to focus obviously in digital media, social media, because nowadays with a limited budget, you can achieve like the best results that you couldn't achieve like 20 years ago, something like that.
Better
no?
than so. Publishing media or that, like in TV advertisement or radio advertisement, I guess.
Exactly. So, Fred, you know you want to sell to the people, the boss of the event, the one that organized the whole breakdance events, right? Once you know that, then we break down the two main strategies that I highly recommend because you have not a limited budget, which is content marketing, which is what we do a lot. This is what we're doing right now. Right now, this is content marketing, basically.
Everything you hear from us is content marketing, actually.
Well, not everything. A lot of it is just content because we enjoy it. But obviously, this is part of like our content marketing strategy, right? So that, so you have content marketing, which is totally free. And for those people that don't know what I mean with content marketing, is creating any kind of visual, audio, written posts, and to social media, which is free. It's just you need to put into the time behind creating this content. But obviously, have the advantage that you don't have to spend ad front and create a paid media campaign right away. You just focus in creating content, delivering
upload
value.
Upload it and target the ones that you want.
Exactly. So in his case will be, if you go to LinkedIn, you have to do articles, do like 1 minute videos showing the software, or just speaking to camera, speaking to the organizer to the events and presenting like that, being active in LinkedIn, providing feedback, stay in the comment. All of that is basically the free and most efficient strategy that you can do right now with social media, right? Then you have paid media. And paid media is not only, it's a concept that defines like paying advertisement. So you pay to promote the content, no? In this case, it will be paid social media because we're only focusing the digital and new media, not just the traditional like TV, radio, but for sure, because obviously that's way more expensive and it's still work. I'm not saying that it doesn't work. Like you should,
if you have the money, but
ideally, if you have the money, you should do everything.
Yeah,
and this doesn't make sense, but you should do everything. You know, we're right targeting and everything. So, pay media is the second option, but I put it like the second option because you need to have at least a budget to promote. Luckily, depending on the medium, if it's Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram, it's going to be more expensive or less expensive. With Facebook, it's really good because the way the price work is a marketplace. So basically, the more advertisement there is more expensive, the less, it's less expensive.
It's a bit on demand, no?
Exactly. Depending on demand and supply is how the price work. With LinkedIn, it's more expensive because it doesn't work like that. It's like administrated by LinkedIn itself. So depending of depending of the number of people you're targeting, it's more expensive or less expensive, something like that, no? But it makes sense. And if we compare the budget with traditional media advertisements, it's way more expensive than,
or even to put things on paper, like on the newspaper or on somewhere else.
Is way more efficient in terms of cost per client acquisition cost, basically, no? So the cost that is way lower, basically, no? So, and also it worked really well because if you target the right people, you can invest like 200 dollars, something
yeah,
like that.
Too much.
$200, something like that, and you can target the right people. Obviously, there is a lot of different strategies, but basically that will be my two recommendations. Just go for content marketing and paid media. Content marketing is more a long-term strategy, meaning mm-hmm. that it's free.
You takes can, much more time not to grow.
But it takes way more time, basically, to gain audience and to get like viral content. Sorry if there is a bit of noise, just yeah. people that is passing, but yeah. That's what we do. Yeah, pretty much. I don't want to get into pretty much that, but that's my recommendation. If you have a business, you don't yeah. have a lot of budgets, just create content in the right platform. Is it Instagram? You do posts.
Pretty much to wrap videos. Up is create content and use paid social media.
Exactly. And if you have some budget, then you say in the right way. I would highly recommend Facebook for like consumer, like mass consumers, and then LinkedIn for B2B. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
All right.
I think that's pretty much
it. That was great. I think I hope he listens to this podcast to get this
yeah,
advice.
Hopefully, yeah. I have to contact him, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. So moving on to my section today, I'm going to talk about my experience, my horrible but enjoyable in the way of learning experience of Amazon Web yeah. Service. Amazon Web Service, for those who don't know, is a platform, is like the infrastructure of computer servers where you can upload your website, you can have computers, everything, but in a remote way. So for example, if you want to store the photos of your last 10 years family, you know, you can go to Amazon Web Service and just upload them in some, like in Amazon Web Service computers and servers. Mm-hmm. So to sum up, it's basically like huge, huge, huge buildings with tons of computers, tons of storage for yeah. people to use. And for those who don't know as well, is the one that has the greatest potential and the greatest quality, because like as other companies show, it's Netflix on it, it's HBO on it, yeah. the main is GitLab even on it, so the main companies are on it, and that's why, because it's great for scaling.
Yeah, and also like we had to mention like how lucky we are to live in nowadays, where you can have access to this kind of service, like being a small company. Everyone can have access, like, to Excel. Be honest. When in the past, it was way difficult to kind of get access to those services, yeah. you know? So
pretty much in the 2000s, for uploading the web to the internet, you had to have it on your own computer or by another computer to use the infrastructure. Now we have this infrastructure as a service, which is great. And even Microsoft, even Bill Gates said that Amazon Web Services is great, and he is the second competition to them, yeah, like yeah. their services, their cloud services. So it's because it's great. You have scalability, you have tons of them, you have also reliability. So if, let's say, there is a bomb in one of those data centers, let's hope that doesn't happen. But even if that happens, you're going to still have your data stored in other servers. Exactly. All the data is stored in different places of the world, all around the world. They have tons of them, and it's secure for sure, like especially with such a big corporation. So it's great, because if you have a small business, you don't have to pay much.
What about the prices? Like how?
Yeah, that's the best part. If you have like a very, very small business, like if you want to pay almost nothing, you can use it for free. Even for people, for freelancers, they can use it for free almost. If you scale and you start like earning much more money and your website has more traffic and you like start growing a lot, you can scale it proportionally to the amount you earn. So
yeah, so for the people who don't know, is the proportion of people that is entering your website is going to determine the price
exactly.
That you have to pay for it.
Exactly. So. And the performance is as well very good, because even if there is like millions and millions of people accessing your website and yesterday was no one, Amazon Web Service is going to handle that. It's going to add up more servers to handle the situation. Mm-hmm. So to sum up, Amazon Web Service is great. It's very scalable, everything. But there is a little tiny problem with it that is difficult yeah. as hell to learn if you're not an operations person, if you're not used to the computer science, not even computer science, infrastructure and software infrastructure as a service world. So here's where it comes, the complications. But The thing is that if you learn enough, you can save a lot of money compared to other services like Heroku or like any other Microsoft Azure or any other ones.
You can invest the time, learn it, and then you can excel it forever, you know. So
when we started, we basically just had to put like a landing page. And the thing is, we didn't want to spend much money on it because it was just basically like the basic website. So we looked at what kind of services we could use. And the thing is, when we arrived to the amount of services they provide, it was crazy. They have like a whole page full of different terms that nobody knows, like unless the ones that are experienced on this. EC2, S3, Lambda, with their own names, with the names they wanted to put. So it's pretty, pretty complex when you have a look at so many services, and it's the first step. You have to only to choose one or two, and you don't know which one to choose or which ones. So if you're going to need 5, 2, 10.
Yeah, at front it looked like a really niche, area where only the people that know exactly what to do.
The design is not very human friendly, let's put it in that way. So let's go for it and let's start learning the basics of it. So what I did basically was YouTube, as always, you know, because we wanted to do this as fast as we could, as fast as possible. We wanted the landing page for yesterday.
Yeah.
So we had to, and for almost for free, and with the cheapest price, even if with a huge number of requests. So we started with reading like what are the services and what people usually does. But here comes another complication, that is if you use frameworks and if you use other complex tools for programming, because if you make like your own scripts in HTML, CSS, that's simple.
Do you mean with framework for the people then?
So for those who don't get these kind of terms, basically they are ways for programmers to organize many, many, many files of code. So many scripts like JavaScript in different programming languages, JavaScript, Node.js, backend, frontend, the things that shows on the server, the things that shows on the database, all these kind of things can be a mess if you don't have a framework or basically a way of managing so many files.
Yeah.
That is basically a framework which has like also many libraries, and these libraries let you use things that other programmers created so that you don't have to spend that much time working on them. So when you use these kind of frameworks, things get more complex because they have their own particular integration with the Amazon Web Services, and they have their own like compilation times, integrations, optimizations, and so on. So you have to look in a very specific niche. For example, if you're using Angular or React as a framework, you'll have to look on the internet which is the best service to host a landing page made on Angular that is a single page application.
Really specific.
Exactly, very niche, and when something is very niche, it means that it doesn't have that much of information out there.
Yeah.
You go over the same Medium articles.
I bet you haven't spent a lot of time just changing the keywords in Google to find what you need.
So to show a bit of the time, I was planning on doing this in 2 hours. I thought like, should be easy, just take a service. The tutorials that I saw on YouTube previously, they were doing it pretty straightforward, so 2 hours should be. At the end, I took like 4 or 5 days, full days, working exclusively on learning this. And the thing is, once you learn which framework you use, then you realize that you're going to have to start using another service, and then another service on top of that. And if you want to send messages to using a contact form for this particular specific situation where you have a landing page in a S3 bucket, then you have to use another service. So you start adding services over services, and each service requires its own learning, its own learning curve, its own learning time. So as you can see, the time increases. And the good thing is that out of this experience, out of these 5 days of hard work, I realized I could find a pattern for learning the fastest and the best way. So here comes like basically the main tips for if I would have to do this again, where should I start? If you know basically about computer science, if you know zero about servers, about anything. So basically, first of all, what you have to look is for Amazon Web Service documentation. You go there, you look at the main services, S3, Lambda, SC2. Even before that, you want to get a small insight of what service is for. So maybe you want to go for a small article like in Medium where they explain, okay, these are the 5 main services. And then each one of it, you go to the documentation of Amazon. And whenever you find a term you don't understand, and this is very important because you think, ah, no, I can save time jumping over this term. No, it's way more efficient to go hit the term that you understand, look on the internet, try to understand it fully, and then keep moving on with the reading. Believe me, it seems that it's going to make it slower, but it doesn't.
Yeah, in the long run, I guess it's more efficient to do that and learn from
basically
from
because
the best.
Then you try to do it in practice and you realize that because of this term, you mess it up and you have to redo it again, which like loses a lot of more time.
Advance, you know.
Exactly. Then after going to the documentation, try to look for a small tutorial on YouTube where they do something kind of similar to it or use the same service at least. Try to get like a 5 minutes view of it, try at least, you know, visualizing how the practice would be done.
Yeah.
And more especially, like, don't get paranoid, don't get worried too much if they're going to charge you or not, because unless the service is used, I mean, even if you upload a website that is very heavy on storage, if you remove it the same day or if you remove it the same week, it's not going to cost you anything, unless, like, there is 10 million people going to that website, which is not possible. So
yeah, I remember it was just too concrete. It was, like, less than £1, something like that. Like
for us, cents. Right now, it's costing 60 cents. A month.
Yeah, and I remember that you told me, oh, I have to change something probably again. It's just some cents, some pennies. So.
Basically, I messed it up at the beginning with S3, and after uploading many times, the total cost was like maybe 50 cents more.
It's nothing, so don't worry about the beginning when they...
Because what happened to me at the beginning is like I was getting stopped in many steps and making sure it was clicking the right buttons all the time because I was very scared, like, oh, they're gonna charge us like $5 or something. No, they charge you very little, so don't worry about that. So after watching these tutorials, then you go to the specific thing. You want first to design what you have. So first design, you have a front end, if you have a database, create small boxes of what you have. And then go for designing the infrastructure. So try to connect these blocks. Okay, I have a database, so I'm gonna need a database in a Fango service that connects to this backend, and this backend connects to the front end. Try to do a very simple design of your whole infrastructure. And then if you have any doubts, the best way to clarify everything is to go either to Reddit, Amazon Web Service Reddit, that helped me a lot, tons
people
of it.
Help there, right?
It's very fast. I know many people is not familiar with Reddit, but you just need to create an account. You don't even have to follow that subreddit. You go to Reddit, you ask the question, you wait for one day. If you're in a hurry, they're going to help you quite fast. They're going to be quite honest. And also the Amazon Web Service Forum works quite well, but I have to be honest and say that Reddit worked even better than the Amazon Web Service support. Yeah. They even have like a personal support, so you can access it like these kind of chatbots, you know, and they kind of give you support there, but it takes more time, it's more complicated.
And
you have the background from the experience from the whole community, you know, maybe if you're making like a single page web app or if you're running with Amazon Web Service, they tell you like you're not doing anything, you know, it's nothing worth it, you know, to give you support. So Reddit is a great way of learning these kind of things, forums and Reddit. And once you finished everything, once everything is ready, once everything is clear, then you have to motivate yourself for keeping learning the other services, because the chances are you're most probably using something that is not the right thing for your thing.
Yeah.
And this happened to me. We started using S3 because we thought it was the cheapest, and it's the cheapest, but it's not the best, for example, for SEO, because all the Angular code is compiled into a single line that then refers to the rest of the code, and the only thing that shows up to Google, the only thing that Google crawl searchers can read is the first two lines of the index page and not the rest, you know.
So it's the word for
not the components.
SEO,
exactly.
Yeah.
For Google, the only thing we had in our website was 10 words. So chances are you're not using the best. So look up for other things, understand how prices works. And I have to say that Amazon gives you a great service for that. It puts up the billing very clearly. It tells you how much you're gonna spend.
Yeah.
Also, choose the right server location. It's going to ask you if you want in
Europe,
North Virginia,
Europe.
Normally, in America, it's cheaper, but for things that are like website, it's not that big difference, you know? I mean, if you're creating like obviously a platform like or a social media like Facebook or something, you know, basically it doesn't make that big difference, you know? So what I would recommend is check out that, keep learning, because you probably messed up the first 2 weeks of it. And then migrations are also made very easily in Amazon Web Services. It's very scalable, it's very easy to follow, and if you learn, it has a lot of potential.
My question will be, so if you're someone that have that interest to want to learn and everything, was it worthy for you to spend that time learning rather than just, you know, hire someone else to do it for you?
Yeah, definitely, because it doesn't take that much to learn. Like, maybe it takes like a couple of weeks, a month, to have a basic level. And even for your future career, operations and someone that understands Amazon Web Services is very well paid and it's very demanded.
Yeah, and it's basically understand how all the backend, all the service,
the whole infrastructure works.
The whole infrastructure of the internet works, basically.
If you are a developer and you also learn operations, you basically can do anything. You can talk to the operations team, you can work as a manager, organizing teams and everything. So it's definitely worth it to learn it.
And in terms of cost, it's amazing, because basically it will be way more expensive to have someone to deal with all...
Excel, or even like a third-party company that charges you every month, $16 or something.
Yeah, well, we're paying almost nothing for having the service.
And even for your personal things, if you need more speed on your laptop, or if you need to for example, if you are into AI and you need to make a lot of processes into AI, what you can do is you hire one of these services, or even create a voice app. You hire one of these Amazon Web Services, and you can host these AI algorithms in it and keep working night and day processing the algorithms, because the thing with AI is that it takes a lot of time for making all the calculations, all the computations. But if you get one of these services, it can be done all the time
way
and
faster.
Cheaper, you know, way cheaper.
Yeah, as well.
So to wrap up, it's worth it to learn it. Don't rush it. It's going to take your time. Learn step by step from the basics to the other, to the most difficult things. Don't try to jump or to make a shortcut.
Yeah.
And good luck with it, because...
I was thinking that maybe we could do a video, so a visual explanation.
Definitely.
Of the step, because I think it was pretty good for some tips and some advice to what to do. But yeah, maybe we should do a video explaining and save some
or,
time.
Or even explain which kind of services we use, because at the end of the day, we are using five services that are the basic ones.
Exactly.
That you have to use for sending messages, contacting services, SAS, Route 59, etc. So definitely worth it.
Yeah, just give us some feedback on the comments or wherever you're listening. If you want to know more about this, we will listen to you guys and try to help doing a video or anything like that, you know? So
exactly.
Pretty good. I think you explained it really well, you know, and it could save potentially some time to anyone that is, you know, in the first step.
It's releasing the full potentials of serverless if you learn it properly.
Uh-huh.
So let's move on now with the last section. The surprise.
Of Light News. Sorry, I'll light the podcast.
Light News is on Friday, by the way, on YouTube. You can check it on the link below.
I said news because we're going to talk about what happened recently, the update, which is one of the most game-changing news in the smartphone market, and that incorporate Trump's, the US and China, and this kind of commercial war that they've been having. But it's, you don't know. Last week, I think, they basically, Trump promising to lift up the ban, or basically try to get back to the starting point. I don't know what happened exactly.
Deals they made? Or?
Yeah, it was a bit weird, but they were saying basically this was a huge war. Warming or we have the power, we control this.
Yeah, we can do this whenever we want, basically.
He's saying, we're gonna let you work with the companies in the US for now, because it will be a catastrophe. Otherwise.
I also wonder if they're gonna, is the CEO of Huawei still in jail or under American laws? Because you remember the daughter of the owner of Huawei, she was caught.
No, I think that was solved.
It was already solved.
This is more about talking about
the ban. Exactly.
Or what happened. But to be honest, we right away, 6 hours ago, there is a news in Tetran that say that despite Trump promised like to reprobate and the ban and everything, is saying that the Commerce Department is telling to staff to continue treating Huawei as a blacklisted.
Mm.
So basically, the whole situation is obviously not solved. The Trump kind of back up a little bit after like that like severe attack against Huawei. So,
yeah.
But that I think Huawei is smart, and they know what is going on. What is the deal?
I also feel this is just the beginning of a war that is gonna last for a long time between United States and China, because even like since the 2000s, okay, you started like slowly, very very slowly, but continuously. Building up like how China was growing, how United States was getting annoyed, and they were like starting to have the first friction. Everything, I think this is the first war of a huge, the first battle of a huge war that is going to last for a long time.
Well, and they've been battling for a while, but even like the pressure from Trump to U.S. Companies that were manufacturing in China, like Apple, that have to move to India, and everything happened with the rest, right? So, but what I wanted to say is like from the side of Huawei, they're a huge company, that are smart, and they know that this could go the wrong way again at any point, you know?
I think they have to be prepared, no?
So, yeah, I think they are going to probably continue with the plan, with the original plan of, we don't know if they are going to keep with the new operation system that we're building. Obviously, it was based in Android, which is obviously the best. But I'm sure
they're gonna keep working on it.
I think they will keep working on it just in case, having like a plan B in case everything goes wrong, or just for the future, you know. But obviously, I think they will still work with Android because it's the best operation system
Right now. Like, I think they're going to put more effort now in like having things prepared for when this happens, because even they were saying like this could be a possibility to happen, but we never thought it would reach that far, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, so and now, that's severe of like blocking and even, all the services.
Even though that happened, they were prepared slightly, but now they're going to be really prepared. So this is going to make Huawei even stronger, I feel, you know?
Completely, man. The thing is like, okay, well, maybe the situation is better now, but imagine just the damage, just like in the U.S., how the brand of Huawei
is perceived,
having damaged so hugely in the U.S., man. That's, even if they go back to the starting point, just the repercussion in sales is gonna be hugely, because
marketing and everything.
Even people in Europe, they will.
The brand awareness is gonna be.
Yeah, when people in Europe, they will worry about owners of Huawei's smartphone. They will worry if they will keep getting the same support from Google or not.
Maybe next time you're gonna buy a phone, you're like, maybe I don't get Huawei just in case this happens again.
Yeah, because there is, of course, like, and especially in a market that is so competitive, that you have so many different options.
You have to be very strong and stable in a market like that.
It's really difficult.
Imagine like suddenly like Apple services, like Apple Cloud, iTunes, everything stops working.
And say that
you wouldn't buy it again.
Hugely, you know. So, and especially the association between, you know, China and Huawei, the US have done a great marketing job as always to create that opposite mindset against China.
Maybe they even have like Maybe they even have USA like that strong affirmation to say like this kind of acclamations, and it was just more a strategy of destroying the brand name, you know,
They didn't put
the both names together, China Huawei, putting it like in a wrong way, you know.
They didn't have proof. Obviously, they always say what they say. We don't know exactly what happened. That's true. We don't know.
But they never showed substantial
proof.
They didn't show like, okay, here is what they did, this is what they stole, you know. However, we have proof, real proof, that the NSA, an organization from the government of the United States, was spying a couple of years ago over Angela Merkel's phone, over other phones, over all the world. But you don't associate like brands like Google or something else like that with America in a negative way.
That's the thing, like when you cross the line and you attack third-party private companies, all right, which And if we're realistic, okay, everything is like interconnected, like massive companies and the economy is totally linked with the politics and the government, obviously. But then when you cross the line and you tax severely where you're affecting directly consumers, like us that we live in the UK, like how to be repercuted by that? If I want to buy my Huawei, why do I have to?
And they were making pressure on the UK government like to ban Huawei, but they were saying like, no, the UK was like, Huawei is giving us a very good 5G, we're not gonna do this.
Yeah, and I think it's bad for the market in general because Huawei is a big brand. Okay, others they're gonna get some of his market share, but still, there is a lot of Chinese brands, not only Huawei, that operate in the US.
Yeah.
And it could happen the same to them, not only Chinese brand, but others. If you just see how much power the US have with the new...
I also feel that the States, with this thing, even with Venezuela and everything, is realizing that he was the big guy, but now he's losing power because even though he destroyed the brand awareness, everything... He had to release the ban. He had to. Huawei is still strong. It has something to back up, and China like is helping Huawei, you know. So the States is not like completely free to do whatever they wanted, like as in the past. He's realizing that his power is down, and he has to compete with people at the same stage as they are.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a tricky situation, but for me, it was really interesting because I didn't expect it to reach this kind of level.
It's like a battle of giants.
Yeah, and to be honest, we really don't know what happened there, but yeah, it was a bit severe. Like when you are blocking that way, Google, all the infrastructure. Yeah, in a world where we live now,
like we have a free market, but no, you cannot do deals with this company.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. So but I think that pretty much wrap up like the situation. Let's see what happens. I think things are gonna be more calm for a while.
Exactly.
Hopefully that's an accept. I mean, we have to say, like, we like the industry of smartphone and technology, and that's why we don't like that kind of thing. It's not, you know, because we don't know what happened with the US.
Dirty
or whatever.
Game.
But it's affecting like negatively the whole industry.
So you know? The progress, exactly.
Even for Google, imagine all the users. So,
and they cannot do anything.
Even the deal, like it's a huge deal for Google. Like every operation system that going in Huawei is.
Maybe they have to move to another country.
You know, so yeah, but I think we're gonna leave it in that note. Thank you very much for listening as always. Yeah.
Share it if you like it and.
Yeah, leave in the comment and subscribe. The other day I forgot I wanted to say.
Yeah.
If you want to subscribe in Spotify or anywhere you're listening,
really appreciate that.
Yeah, we're going to be here every Wednesday recording and upload it at the same time. That's it. Leave us some feedback if you enjoyed this episode. The last one, if you haven't seen it, you haven't listened it, is there. So, yes, pretty much that's it. Yeah.
See you on the next one.
See you.
Bye.